Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
G'day everyone, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee, and we've got Jazz Stana, who's our fantastic co-host as always. Jazz, how are you doing?
I really like the introduction, David, on that one.
Hey, it's good. But I don't want to hang our guest dry for too long as well, and because he's actually topped our list in terms of market updates from last time, if I remember correctly. Is that right, Jazz?
He's the second on the list.
Second? Who's the first?
It's the Brisbane. But yes, you're right, David. He's almost there.
So we've got Andrew Nguyen from Aurora Estate Agents back. Andrew, welcome back. And it sounds like we're going to have to work you harder this time in terms of market updates to get to that top place now.
Pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, man. A lot has happened since you have last been on the show. It's been 4 or 5 months now, I think.
Yeah.
And at the time, the climate wasn't very great with the politics side and the Royal Commission and the interest rate, all of that stuff. But since then, all of that air has been cleaned out.
Yeah.
We saw SCOMO win. We had 2 rate cuts. Royal Commission have done their job. Banks are easing down with the assessment rate. Mm-hmm. So lending is definitely loosening up.
Yeah.
How are you finding it since then, Matt?
We're definitely finding a change. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. The air is now clear. I think the fact that the Liberals won the election is good for investors. There's no changes to negative gearing. Interest rates have gone down. As a result, we're seeing more investors enter the market and we're seeing more buyers enter the market. So I would say the market is now in a recovery stage. And if anything, prices won't drop any further. And we'll probably see us at the peak of the market again within the next 24 months.
So you think the market, so in the last 2 years, we probably saw somewhere between 10 to 15% drop, right?
Yeah, even in the sort of the closer inner city suburbs, we've seen drops of 20 to 25%.
Yeah.
So this is good news. It's good news. But I guess the disclaimer is, firstly, the price rises always start in the inner city first, and it's like a bit of a domino effect. So those buyers who could originally afford to buy in the inner city will have to go a bit further out, and the other buyers further out. So the outer suburbs probably won't see that change for another 6 months or so. So prices have stabilised out here in Berwick and Narrabri South and sort of the outer southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. But we won't see those drastic rises, at least until 2020 at least.
So you think that in the next 12 to 18 months we'll be back to our all-time high?
It's going to take time.
Yep.
It's going to take time. Like you look at the drop. So the drop started, depending on where you live, it started around the end of 2017.
Yep.
Okay. And now we're sort of 18 months away from that drop. So we won't go back to that mark again for another 18 to 24 months. So yes, price rises will occur, but if people are thinking, oh, I'm going to get 2017 prices again, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to wait and be patient, and that will happen itself.
Fair enough. So that's one part of the story. And since the changes have happened in the last couple of months, especially the last one being the assessment rate and the interest rate drop, how are you finding the buyer sentiment now in terms of, I mean, when you're catching up with them on open homes or showing investment properties, what is their sentiment like?
There's a lot more confidence. So buyers are now willing to buy. Even 3 months ago, buyers weren't buying for, you know, they'd have to look on the market. I'd see buyers over and over again for a period of months. Now, buyers are probably waiting that 1, 2, 3 weeks before they enter the market and actually make that purchase on the property. And the true measure of buyer confidence is auction clearance rates. So what we're seeing over the past 5 weeks is auction clearance rates anywhere in between the 70 to 82%. So last week it was 82%. Which is absolutely amazing.
So on that one, 82% was against how many properties?
So still less than 1,000 properties, which is not a lot of properties selling, but the fact that they are selling indicates that buyers are very confident about their own financial situation, and as a result, they're better ready to buy. So we're definitely on the way to recovery. It's just a matter of patience before we get up to the very, very top again.
82% is a really good clearance rate.
It's massive.
That's good. And it's not the Melbourne peak auction time, but still 800 properties, that's a good number.
It's fantastic.
Check the rate against.
Yeah, even 3 months ago, we were looking in the 50s, you know, 52, 53, 54%. And in 3 months, 4 months, it's gone up to 80%. So the fact that the election has been over, the fact that we've had interest rate decreases, the fact that you said the assessment rate has changed, that's definitely brought a lot of confidence back into the market. So now it's about that snowball effect. It's about getting more buyers onto the market because of those changes, and we're hearing that there might be more interest rate changes. Once we can hit that momentum, that snowball will just keep rolling down the hill. We'll get, you know, back to where we were in 2016-17 when we're getting massive amounts of competition.
Yeah, and especially the media part will clean out as well, with a lot of negative news that was coming out in the media. Now all of a sudden the auction clearance numbers are up, so consumer sentiment changes, like you said, the domino effect will kick in. So that's really good, mate. And the investor side of the story is the same as well, because I know Barrick Narrow, this KC area, has got a lot of investor activity because of the obvious population boom that's happening in this area.
Yeah.
Are you finding investors coming out as well? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. We hadn't met an investor. It's since the start of the year, we hadn't met an investor up until June. And then the last couple of months, I've sold two properties to investors. So they're definitely coming back. They're seeing opportunities now. And, you know, vacancy rates are still very low. Market rental yields are still reasonably, they're not high, but they're still very reasonable. So investors are seeing the opportunity there now and they're coming back. And that, again, is going to be good for someone who's looking at selling, because now investors are competing against with first home buyers, with, you know, downsizers and upsizers as well. So that domino effect and snowball effect is going to accumulate, and we'll see that in the future.
No, that's really good news to hear. I mean, real estate is one of the main markets over here, so it was all doom and gloom for the last 2 years, and you get tired of reading the same news over and over.
Exactly.
Even
I think it was a couple of nights ago, I saw a story about is the Australian property market booming, and this is, you know, compared to, again, we're going back 3 months ago, because it's like the change just happened so quickly. We're getting 60-minute, you know, reports, you know, is the market going to drop by 40%?
Yeah.
And now we're getting stories, is the property market, you know, on going up?
Well, wait for another 2 months, we'll probably start to see stories of boom and bust.
Yeah.
It's going crazy once again.
Yeah.
So I was actually checking some stats last night, and there's a talk of, and this is all obviously a guess at the moment, but economists are still predicting two more rate cuts in the coming few months, one closer to the Melbourne Cup and another one in the first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
Whether it will happen or not to be seen.
Yeah.
But that will, I mean, it's and David and I have discussed this before, it's a good story, it's a good thing and a bad thing, obviously, and you and I were discussing as well before jumping on the podcast. That will really boost up some more confidence in the market as well. So from a price perspective, I'm assuming there are now less and less negotiations that are happening to meet the buyer's expectation or the seller's expectation, or there's still a lot of negotiation going on like in the last 2 years.
Well, in the outer suburbs, you know, we're going to see the price rises soon, but in the outer suburbs, negotiation is still happening. It's just probably not as bad as it was 3 or 4 months ago. We're not getting as many lowball offers because we're starting to get ourselves into situations now, or vendors are starting to get themselves into situations now where there are multiple offers on the table. So even if it's just two offers on the table, the room scope for negotiation for a buyer is much less because they know they're competing against another buyer. But when it's between a buyer and a seller, like it was at the start of the year, obviously negotiations will string out a bit longer before we sort of meet somewhere in the middle. So yes, absolutely, negotiation times are shortening, but you know, that will sort of come back to what it was 2016-17, when there was just competition overload and buyers weren't negotiating. They were paying their best price and you either win or you lose.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, can I ask you, how are you seeing on the supply side of things? I know we're branching into spring, and traditionally winter is the quiet period.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that it was the clearance rate so high and the reason that why people are paying or started to pay previous prices is because supply is so short, just like Sydney?
Possibly. I guess that will remain to be seen until we enter the spring market. If that is the case, then obviously It's going to be a quiet spring market, yeah. But if we're still getting the same clearance rates as we are getting now, then obviously I think that's a clear sign that the market is back in confidence.
Are you seeing more supplies coming up at this point in time? Because obviously I know it's people may not necessarily want to put their house for sale until spring. So at this point in time, are you seeing an increase on the number of supplies as we start moving into September?
Yeah, traditionally around this time of the year, David, supply is low.
Mm.
But the advice that we've given to our clients is that, contrary to the market, if everyone's going on the market in spring,
yep.
then they're just going to be competing with every other house on the market. If you go on the market now, then the chances are that because the demand is there, there's less competition amongst houses and vendors. Buyers are going to, you know, elevate themselves to that particular property.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to get maximum dollar out of your marketing campaign, then best is to go on the market as soon as you can if your intention is to sell this side of the year. If your circumstances don't allow you to do that, then obviously you need to make sure that your execution of your marketing campaign, your presentation, and getting the right agent is spot on in spring.
Yeah, okay. No, that's very good. Thank you. And in terms of the investors that's looking to buy, I'm actually interested in knowing what were the two properties that you sold to investors in the last couple of months. What sort of areas are they? What sort of rental return are they grossing?
So one we sold for $680. Rental return's about $475 a week. So my math is not good, but 0.5%. And the other one was a $770 property renting at about $500 a week. So about 4.3%.
Yeah. Okay. So what sort of areas are they? Are they in Berwick? Are they in whereabouts? Yes.
So these are the outer burbs of Melbourne.
Outer burbs.
Which is where I live, David. So the more closer you are to the city, the rent returns will be lower.
Yeah.
Which means the net return in this case is still working out to be roughly around 2.5%.
Mm.
So at some point around 2015-16, they dropped to under 2% as well.
Even at 2.5%, you compare that to cash, you compare that to shares, like you've seen the share market last week. 3.5% is still pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that you're gonna if it's a long term hold, you're gonna get growth out of that. I wouldn't be wincing at 2.5% at this stage in the economy.
Now, that's actually a really good point, because now David and I were discussing this in the previous just before the last episode, I think. The rates now are sitting in low twos.
Mm.
For the investors, you can get around 3.5, 3.4 kind of thing. So the rates are really low, which means even if you get a 2.5 to 3% net yield, you're not out of pocket much. In that case, if you pick up the right product in the market.
Yeah,
I guess. Are you seeing the pressure reducing or increasing on the rental side of the market?
The rental market's all for a tenant or for a landlord?
Tenants.
In terms of trying to find a property?
Yes.
The rental market for us, we don't feel has changed all that much. For us, we've been renting our properties out within 1 to 2 weeks. I know there is other stock on the market that's been there for a while, but that's a contribution of a lot of factors, you know, your marketing, your price, how the property manager is conducting the campaign. But if it is priced right, if it is presented well and marketed effectively, properties will lease out within 1 to 2 weeks. We had a property in Berwick that we rented out for $525 a week. That in the first week had 31 inspections and 7 applications. So it's a tight market out there, and it's all for the last 12 months. That's how it's been.
If the sales are picking up with that high auction clearance rates, you will think that the rental demand will slow down a bit, isn't it?
I think they're two very separate demographics. I think rentals, most tenants and most buyers will be different, and they will transition, you know, accordingly to their circumstances. But we've always felt that if you have a good rental property at the right price, you will rent it out. Sales is completely different because you're dealing with different quantity of money there.
Yep.
You know, as opposed to $400 a week compared to a purchase that might cost you $600 to $700 a week for the same property in the mortgage. So it's two entirely different demographics that we see.
Sure. And in general, the vacancy rate in this area is still low?
It's low. For us, it's about 1%. For the rest of the market, you're looking at about 2.5 to 3%. So that's still low. But it all comes down to like I said, it all comes down to how you market that property and how you price it to keep those vacancy rates low.
Yeah, that's why we have got you over here. That's good. And what are you, I mean, we sort of touched based on this already, but what are you hoping next year? Slow and steady wins the race kind of thing? It's going to be 4, 5, 6% growth, or?
I don't think it'll be 4, 5, 6. I think it'll still be slow. Like the last quarter alone in Melbourne was only 0.2% growth.
Yep.
Okay, so good growth, that's positive, yeah. But it's slow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to take at least that 12, 18, 24 months before we start seeing the market really peak itself out.
Yeah.
So we're in good waters at the moment. Mm-hmm. Don't expect surprises. Don't expect that the market's all of a sudden going to jump out of the water, because it's not.
Yeah. If you end up seeing two more rate cuts, that means the interest rate for owner-occupiers in that case will be under 2.5 or close to 2.5 now. Mm-hmm. You will hope to see some growth in that case, right? If the rates are that low,
yeah.
I would have thought. What are your thoughts, David, on that?
Yeah, look, I think it's usually the interest rate is the trigger for housing prices, right? So the idea is, obviously RBA is trying to lower that as much as they can. And with two consecutive cuts so far, we're already seeing Melbourne and Sydney rebounding, looking at, we can probably say, looking back in a couple months' time, would say probably bottom around the May, June-ish period, just after the election, because after the election, the whole sentiment's changed so much. It's I don't know about Melbourne, but I'm certainly seeing Sydney is a complete different story now. I'm assuming it's the same with Melbourne side of things. So if they pull a bit more, or if they drop a little bit more, then that's going to spark even further interest in terms of pressure putting the prices up. That's my personal view on that.
For the buyers who are looking to buy the property now,
yeah,
what are some of the tips for them in this market? I mean, should they be negotiating hard? Should they be snapping it quickly? What is this market telling the buyers how to go about it?
Now that we know the market's recovering,
yeah,
I think the key word is immediacy, acting as soon as possible. So once you fall in love with the property, get onto it straight away. We're still meeting a lot of buyers out there who, we're still researching, we're going to wait till December, January, March to buy. By that point in time, they're probably paying $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, maybe $20,000 more than what they're looking at now.
Yeah.
So if they've got their pre-approval in order, which is obviously a priority, get onto it straight away, so then you're not paying more in the long run.
Yeah. That's a very good point. I mean, that $20,000 can almost be your stamp duty,
yeah,
to or majority of your stamp duty, mm-hmm, if you act in time. And for our dear sellers out there, what are some of the tips for them if they're planning to sell their properties?
Well, as I said last time when I was here, for sellers, it always comes down to circumstance. If you're not ready to sell, you're not going to sell, because mm-hmm, your mind space is not going to be in that space to sell. If you are ready to sell, then if you're trying to avoid the spring market in terms of having more competition on your home rather than other homes, then do it as soon as possible. And our three tips are always marketing, presentation, agent. Yeah. So if you're your marketing spot on, if you've got the right agent, executing the right process, if you're presenting your house in a way that attracts an emotional buyer and you're pricing your house strategically, then you will have a great result regardless of what market you're in. But now that we're in a recovering market, this is a really good time now to secure a really hot price.
Yep. And you've already said that this around this time of the year, it's a good time because there's less properties,
yep,
on the market relatively if you're,
yep,
thinking of selling.
Yep.
Otherwise, come November, it will be flooded with the gates will open, everyone's,
yeah,
saying,
exactly. It's, yeah, it's, you know, the classic Warren Buffett advice is, you know, buy when the market's not good, sell when the market's, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's really good opportunities out there now because stock is really low and demand is really high. Avoid the spring market when you can. And I know we're a week away from that, but I think there's still a good opportunity here within the next 4 weeks. But look, if your circumstances aren't telling you to sell right now, then, make sure you get all your execution points right when it does come around.
And for the investors, it's the same story, or do you reckon they can probably wait for a bit longer just because the market is still,
yeah,
in the recovery zone kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. I think they can still wait for a bit longer because the price, the majority of the price rises are seen in the inner city, yeah, until that domino effect starts to occur.
Yeah.
So they've probably still got another 6 to 12 months to buy in the market that we're in now. And once we cross over that 12-month period,
yeah,
they'll start competing with a lot more buyers are more cashed up, and as a result, they have to go further out, say to a Pakenham or a Warragul or Moi, to get some really good deals.
So they may be able to find some good deals right now where they can bargain a bit more than what normally will allow. But in 12 months' time, it will still be a good deal, but it probably won't be the greatest.
It won't be the greatest. Because rents will remain the same, remember. Rents will generally, it might be an extra $5, $10 here or there, but rents will generally remain the same. So average days on market at the moment, you're looking about 85 in this area. So there are a lot of properties there that aren't selling. That might be a good opportunity for investors to snap up.
Yeah. Actually, most of your properties on the books, are they more investor-style properties?
They're a bit of both. As you know, you invest in this area, Jazz, you'll know that regardless of what type of property in this area, they generally can be either an owner-occupier or an investor property. Yeah. Like, it's not like we're out in Toorak or South Yarra where they're all $5 million mansions.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, people are still investing in those areas. So, there's good opportunity out here regardless of what type of home you can invest if that's your path to retirement.
It's definitely a good area to invest in, the KC area, as long as you buy right in the right spot kind of thing. Australian property market obviously has been through so many cycles now, right? And generally you say, this is not a rule of thumb or anything, but anywhere between 7 to 12 years, they say the property prices in Australia, or let's talk more Melbourne and Sydney, forget Australia, double, right? But with the interest rates now that low, and one of the main reasons the property prices kept doubling over this period was RBA kept cutting the interest rates. But now that the rates are so low, do you still think that that will happen, that we'll still see that kind of growth that we have seen in the past? Or rather than 10 years, it's more going to be 20-year cycles, just because there's not that much room to move now.
Exactly. And I think you have to look at the underlying reason why the RBA is cutting rates, because I think they do feel like there is some pressure in the economy that they need to cut rates to kick it along. So look, I'm not an economist, but I'd like to see the property market double in the same time frame it has in the past. But we have to be wary that there is some underlying current there with the RBA that they're looking at, that they have concerns about. And look, there's still people out there saying that the property boom will bust. I have confidence that it won't. Other people view it differently. But you know, if you're an investor, buy with caution. And obviously buy in the right areas that you know that has a strong history of growth. So when the time comes that it is a bust, that you're not losing out on too much.
History normally repeats or rhymes. That doesn't mean it will happen. But in maybe 5 years' time, RBA might start increasing rates just because the economy has...
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, where else are they going to go? Like you said before, we're going to get to a stage where we're going to be printing money. And you know, obviously the government doesn't want to go down that path. But as we've seen in the States, they did. So, it remains to be seen. I feel like the Australian economy is in a much better position than the States. As a result, we probably won't have to go down that path. Buy with caution, do your research, and I think in the long run, you'll be the better off for it.
That's good coverage again. Thanks, Andrew. Very comprehensive as always.
Thanks for coming on the show once again. It's always good to have you.
It's always a pleasure.
We did have a lot of feedback from last time that they really enjoyed the show, which is awesome. And hopefully you can help some of the buyers out there and the sellers to meet their expectations on finding the properties and selling the properties at the prices that they're after. And for our listeners, hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or whatever app you are using, and let the word spread like a fire. Spark your fire. Cheers. Jazz and David.
Thank you. If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.